Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Can you describe the ruckus, sir?
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
Hour number two here on Danny and Dusty. We are Dustyless, at least for a little while longer. Dusty here down at Ducks Media Day. Jeff Russ behind the counter. We will have Dusty join us around 2:30 to close today's show. Get some news, thoughts, sounds, all of the above from what I can only imagine is just a beautiful day at Autzen, because it never rains down there.
Nope.
Definitely not a swamp right now. I would imagine it's probably not great. But hopefully it's been clear enough for everything to go off without a hitch. Keeping in mind with the Ducks, Bo Nix drafted 12th overall by the Denver Broncos this past year. There is reporting out there from Dan Graziano of ESPN, national NFL writer, going through some of the camp quarterback battles. This involves obviously your rookies, where you've got Bo Nix in Denver, J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota. No one in Las Vegas, because they don't have a rookie quarterback. Not that I'm frustrated about that at all. Drake May in New England, and Jaden Daniels in Washington. Let's start with the Denver Broncos and Bo Nix. Reporting out of there, and this is just kind of push you kind of what kind of hell they're in. Everybody keeps talking about, well, Denver, Bo Nix, and Sean Payton, they're going to figure it out. Sure. This year? I don't think so. You can place Zach Wilson as a clear number three in this race right now, based on everything I've heard. This is from Dan Graziano. He obviously has high-end talent. You could theoretically show enough in camp to move up, but he never really did that in 3 years with the Jets, and so far doesn't seem to have impressed anyone very much in Denver. Yikes, dog.
Yeesh.
Not great.
No.
When the quarterback bar is so low, you can trip over it.
Yeah.
And you're not clear. You're not clearing the Jarrett Stidham bar. Good gravy.
Yeah. No bueno there, Zach.
Hey, shout out a number two overall pick, guaranteed money, though. Man's never going to have to work again.
Nope.
This leaves the competition between Bo Nix and Jarrett Stidham. Stidham finished the year as the starter last year after they benched Russell Wilson, who was not good also. That's another quarterback battle we can talk about, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Good Lord. That reminds me, you ever see that? Do you ever watch Family Guy?
I was never a big Family Guy guy.
There's one where Smokey and the Bandit shows up and Stewie kind of looks and says, good luck with that Sally Fields tale to Smokey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's kind of how I feel with Justin Fields. It's kind of like, good luck with that. I think he yelled out something along the lines of like, hey, I don't like it either. And I think that's the situation the Steelers are in. I don't like it either. Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. But as it pertains to the Denver Broncos with Bo Nix, the eventual conclusion that Graziano comes to, and I think this is probably true because it's Jared freaking Stidham.
Mm-hmm.
Nix is going to be Peyton's guy. When he takes hold is, it's more about a matter of when, not if.
Mm-hmm.
Should he be out there at week one? If he's got it, sure. Remember the, speaking of Russell Wilson, when he was a rookie coming into Seahawks camp, they had just signed Matt Flynn with, was that a 4-year, $40 million deal, if I remember right?
Ooh, something like that.
Which is insane to think about now. It's like, yeah. That's it? Slightly more than backup money. It's not that crazy. But Wilson was just dominant in camp. And it was oh crap, this guy's good. And that was quick and easy. Now, there's been plenty of examples of where, you know, you get a third halfway into the season, then the rookie takes over because you kind of want the training wheels on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as complicated as NFL offenses are, Sean Payton's is probably more complicated. Now, yeah. Bo Nix is a smart guy. He's got a lot of experience. He's got the starting record or record for most starts in college football history, which is going to fall this year as long as Dylan Gabriel stays healthy. Again, knock on wood. So you think he'd eventually be able to pick it up relatively quickly. But, you know, paces are all different for everybody. Eventually, it will be Bo Nix, though, in Denver. I would lean more towards him starting later in the season, mm-hmm. as opposed to right out of the gates, because they don't have any freaking weapons. Like, I don't think you're going to do the kid any good throwing him out there to the Wolves where he's going to get hit. He doesn't have, like, I don't understand why everyone tries to reinvent the wheel with quarterbacks. We know what this looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Take time. Don't force them. Who cares what fans say and owners get impatient? Because you obviously the clip from Hard Knocks where you see the Giants owner talking about Saquon Barkley and basically saying jersey sales. It's like you've got to have ownership that's not so short-sighted.
Yeah.
You can't, unless a guy is so clearly above everyone else that your locker room is going to turn sideways. Because you can't do that in the NFL because they won't go to bat for the guy.
Right.
But if you cannot do that, you cannot throw that guy out there if he's not ready. And every year there's like, well, we drafted him, so we got to play him. And it's just, they're just sitting there going, oh my God, you're going to get this guy killed. It's like David Carr apparently wasn't enough of a martyr to have a lasting impact. You don't have weapons. You can't protect him. What are you learning? What are you learning about your quarterback? Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I never thought Fields was that good to begin with, but you never gave him a fighting chance either. So it was like, do you want to burn your draft pick, the guy who is your guy, or do you want to take care of him? It was like, well, you can't coddle him. He's got to play someday. Yeah, but does that matter this year? The answer is no.
Right.
Because nobody cares about what you do this year. I would lean more towards let him be 100% comfortable, and then, to be honest, let Jared Stidham take the butt kicking for the first 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Because that team's going to be a doormat.
Mm-hmm.
If you can keep him from getting hit 25 to 30 times, is that not worth it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of the... If you had somebody that was not named Jarrett Stidham or Zach Wilson in that QB room, mm-hmm. then I'd say, sure, yeah, go throw somebody else out there for a bit.
But they suck no matter what.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Even with Bo, like, oh, he's going to miss out on reps. I'm like, this is something I harp out with as it pertains to the NBA and the Blazers in particular. Bad reps are not good. Good reps are good. It was like the whole thing with Scoot Henderson. Play Scoot Henderson. I'm like, no. Beginning of the year, no. Bad reps are not helpful. It's the same thing in the NFL. Bad reps are not helpful. Like, oh, they're reps. It's like, no, getting your teeth kicked in is not healthy for you. We are not at the build character stage of professional sports.
Yeah.
So in that regard, I just kind of go, let's cut a little bit off this. Let's make sure that when he does get on the field, that we're doing our best to have things prepared and ready and an understanding of where things are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can satiate the owner of like, I drafted this guy 12th, play him, you know, because that happens. Because look, the Walmart family bought the Denver Broncos. They're not just going to be like, hey, yeah, no, this draft capital that we just used, sit it on the bench. Like, no, we want to make money. That's what they're in the business for. Pivoting again back to the Steelers, I think this is a really interesting battle because it's a battle for who sucks less between Justin Fields and Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And Dusty likes to go with the, well, Russell Wilson wasn't that bad for the Broncos. And I'm like, look, man, I know what the stats are. I watched him play. It wasn't good.
Mm.
Neither was Justin Fields. Like, I don't think you could find two quarterbacks in the NFL where I'm like, oh, God, I couldn't care less about either of these guys. And yet the Steelers, for whatever reason, like, well, we'll go basement hunting and figure this thing out. I don't know which way I would go. I genuinely don't, because Wilson is getting to be washed,
mm-hmm.
and Fields was never good to begin with.
I think this seems like a year for them where you see what you got, you see how much Russell Wilson still has left, and you see what maybe you can do with Fields.
Because they only have that 1 year, so they kind of have to make a decision. Because it's really interesting because that division is so good. This Steelers team went 10-7 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Who was at quarterback? Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like they just find a way seemingly every year. And I know how much money they spend on the defense. I know how much money they spend on T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward and everybody else. And it's like, this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
This is not good for anyone. And eventually Pittsburgh will get a quarterback. The stumbling into Ben Roethlisberger is still hilarious. They'll figure something out there. I just don't know what it's going to be. The case study, and we've kind of alluded to this a bunch over the last couple of weeks, is Minnesota. The whole idea of, like, in the modern NFL, do you need a really good plus or great quarterback? Because if Sam Darnold wins that starting job, which it sounds very much like Sam Darnold will be the starting quarterback, and not in, like, the placeholder sense that Jarrett Stidham would be.
Right.
It sounds like this is going to be a year chilling over here, J.J. McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I still don't know why they made that pick. I mean, I know you have to have a quarterback. That one just kind of made me go, why not wait until next year?
Yeah.
If Sam Darnold's your guy, let's, to be fair, the quarterback class next year, not great either. It's kind of weird. It's two classes in a row where, like, you had obviously Williams, May, and Daniels, which mm-hmm. I think there's varying degrees of level there, but the next after that, like, I think Penix is okay as an NFL prospect. I think Nix is okay. McCarthy's easily the least I trust of any of the first-round quarterbacks by a pretty substantial margin.
Yeah.
But next year's quarterback class is like Shedeur Sanders. I can't say it confidently.
Yeah.
You know? But you take this... You take this Vikings room, and they have so many weapons, right? T.J. Hockenson when he comes back, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and you kind of go, okay, if Sam Darnold goes out there and Kirk Cousins this thing up, where it's like, oh, no, like, this looks good,
mm-hmm.
I genuinely wonder how many teams go, we don't need to spend $50 million on a quarterback. Now, it's easy to say that when you have the first or second best wide receiver in the NFL. And then other weapons that follow. Not everybody can replicate that. But if you can get just average or slightly above average quarterback play, and all of a sudden have a good, competent defense and a bunch of offensive weapons, and that is a recipe for not just like, hey, we make the playoffs, but they make a legitimate run, I think you might start seeing a lot of copycats around the NFL. Because in theory, this is essentially what the 49ers did. Is they took Mr. Irrelevant and Brock Purdy and said, but what happens if we give him all the weapons in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And he looked incredible. And yep. Now, I think Brock Purdy is better than just a plug-and-play guy. But also, when you took Deebo Samuel off the field, it showed.
Yeah.
And now you do that to any team, it's going to show. But it's not like they're missing options.
Right.
They had other guys they could work with.
Mm-hmm.
So I find this to be a very interesting project and prospect of, like, does this shape kind of the same way, like, you look at the NBA now of, like, is it better to have a bunch of bigs? We're seeing just teams shifting back towards so many more bigs in a big-centered offense that do you kind of see the same thing where it's more about weapons, so to speak, as long as you meet a certain threshold of quarterback play?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it would be, it will be interesting to see what Sam Darnold does up there if he wins the job when you've got Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison.
Because if all of a sudden he's putting up Kirk Cousins stats without being as irritated as Kirk Cousins,
yeah,
you start asking questions.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have to pay $55 to $60 million to a quarterback, it's a pretty interesting spot to start at.
So then if he does go in and he does succeed, what do you do then with your, what pick was McCarthy?
12th. Oh, no, 12th. 10th.
10th? Yeah. So then what do you do with your number 10 overall pick? You can't have them both there, not for too long.
Well, you mean you have the cost control and you move on from Darnold and you go, as long as McCarthy's good enough.
I guess, yeah.
Because you would have the cost control longer at mm-hmm. that point in time, unless Darnold's willing to take a deal well below market. But I imagine if he puts up Kirk Cousins' numbers, he might want some Kirk money.
Right.
So it kind of solves your own riddle, so to speak. But I do think it's going to be very interesting to see how that works out. Vancouver text line, somebody said Geno with the Hawks, Geno Smith. And I think, yeah, they had that year where mm-hmm. I think Dusty and I both picked him to win like 4 or 5 wins.
Yeah.
And then they ripped through the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's actually like a pretty good team.
Kind of came back down to earth.
They did. Yeah. But did they have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkins?
No, of course. Well, they have DK Metcalf and
Tyler Lockett.
And Tyler Lockett and Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Now, yes.
Now, yeah.
So it's going to, like, there's a couple of different instances around the NFL. Like, I think we kind of know what Geno is. Like, I think he's a above average starter.
Yeah.
He's above replacement level. Not a ton, but above average.
Yeah.
I think
he's being paid as such. You know, they gave themselves wiggle room if things don't work out. You know what I mean? I think this is the year 2, I believe, of that deal where after this, if they want, they can get out.
Yes. Geno got paid, but there's also certainly options. Also on the Vancouver Ford text line, I would be remiss if I did not mention the quarterbacks of the Steelers last year, Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett.
That's right. Little tiny hands, Kenny Pickett.
Yeesh. It's just so difficult. And somebody, listen, I appreciate whoever this is sending this in, calling out to my little Raider heart. This is what the Raiders are attempting to do this year. Top 10 defensive playmakers on offense. Can a cheap quarterback keep them in games? I mean, look, I love the Gardner Minshew experience, which I think it needs to be a ride at like the NFL Hall of Fame. But him or Aiden O'Connell, it's like, I think that's different because Devontae Adams, DA is a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And Brock Bowers has the potential to be very good, but now you're talking about like Hunter Renfrow, because there's a pretty steep drop-off there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dusty and I played this game the other day. Name somebody not named Max Crosby on the Raiders defense. And he just looked at me, and it looked like somebody gave him the stinkiest fart ever right in his face, because he was like, there's a Jones out there at corner, right? It's like, who's Jack Jones? And I'm like, congratulations. They have the most nondescript defense you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yeah.
And they could end up being good, for sure. But I think that as much as I love my Raiders, I think it's a ways off as it pertains to being competitive with quarterback play. Coming up next, keeping on quarterbacks and money in general, Patrick Mahomes, underpaid now? Danny and Dusty, Tinny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Stop me if you've heard this one before. The guy making over almost $500 million is underpaid.
Okay.
You haven't heard this one before because it's never happened.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes signed a 10-year, $477 million contract in the summer of 2020. Does it feel like it was that long ago?
Man. No.
It was 4 years ago that he signed that deal. He is almost halfway into that deal. It's kind of wild to think about. It's like, wait, what? It's one of the most lucrative in sports history. Now, it is not a 10-year, $700 million deal like Shohei Ohtani's,
yeah,
with all of it deferred to the back end. God, that when that payment hits in like year nine, good God.
Well, for Patrick Mahomes to warrant that kind of money, he'd have to be both quarterback and like a dominant edge rusher.
I'd like to see it. I'd like to see him hold the edge against, you know, Trent Williams.
Maybe just a good old truck and safety back there.
Think about like what it would take to actually be a two-way player in today's NFL.
Right?
Like you've had a couple guys who've like moonlighted.
Yeah.
At that, remember Troy Brown?
Mm-hmm.
Safety.
Well, you had your Troy Woods or
Troy Woodson?
Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson.
You're in my head, Werder.
Oh, yeah. Only for a couple years. He did the, I don't think he ever played wide receiver. Maybe he did his rookie year. He was return man his first couple years of the Raiders.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. But they also went like, hey, this is the best corner in football. We probably shouldn't have him back there doing that, because if he gets hurt, we're screwed.
Right.
But you've now got Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa, all making more money on an average per annum basis than Patrick Mahomes, which is insane to when you really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes was asked if he felt underpaid. Nick Shook of NFL.com asked him, do you feel like you're underpaid? He said, not necessarily. I think we do a great job of managing my money, be able to pay me a lot of money and keep a good team around me. I know we've kind of restructured a couple times and got the cash flow up in certain spots in certain years, but it's about having a good dialogue, good communication with the front office and ownership, and we've done that here. And as we've been able to allow me to be a highly paid guy, while at the same time build a great team around me. Basically, that sounds to me a lot like, look, as long as we keep winning and as long as I'm making like God-tier money, I don't have to be the highest paid guy. Like, as long as I'm up there.
Yeah.
I don't need to be the guy.
Well, but does any of this sound surprising coming from Patrick Mahomes, though, too?
No, because the longer he stays winning, the more money he makes off the field.
Yeah.
Look, Trent Dilfer, even though he's Super Bowl-winning quarterback, not out here pitching head and shoulders. One, because the hair's gone. Two, because you're not in the limelight long enough.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco went out and won that Super Bowl. Then he got paid and said, F you, pay me.
Mm-hmm.
And did the Ravens come back? No, but he got paid. He's good to go. Did you see what Carmelo Anthony said about the Jalen Brunson deal?
No, I don't think
he was just, he couldn't understand what Jalen Brunson was doing, which should come as absolutely no shock to anyone.
Yeah.
Because Carmelo Anthony forced his way to the Knicks off the Nuggets and cost himself actual assets so that he could get there and re-sign with the Knicks and maximize his earning potentials while also giving the Nuggets Gallo and Wilson Chandler and other stuff. So selfishly, he's like, I can't figure this out. There is a world that exists where you don't take every single dollar on the table. I mean, every agent will always tell you, do not leave a dollar on the table.
Well, and I feel like it's not only agents, but players themselves and players associations.
Yes.
You know, the unions and stuff. Like they would, I remember when I was a kid or in my teens, whatever. Yeah, they would get angry at somebody for taking less than the maximum that they could.
Oh, the PA is not happy with Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
And Rick Brunson is on record as saying this, I believe it was to Tim McMahon of ESPN, of saying, number one, I played 9 years in the NBA without a single year being guaranteed. This is Rick Brunson, Jalen Brown's father. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson's father.
Yeah.
And that kind of imparted on Jalen Brunson. And so that when it came time and it came availability to be able to make this happen, it was more about securing the money right now,
mm-hmm.
putting pen to paper, than waiting until next season and extending on what would have got him $36 million more. What in part that did, though, is that, remember, Jalen Brunson went to the Knicks because his father and because of the relationship with the general manager, Leon Rose, who was his father's agent. Like this, it's family ties, right? It's not just the Nova Knicks and the Villanova guys all coming together. Like there's actual generational lineage within the organization. But with it, you got Brunson being different and saying, this is enough for me. And that allows the Knicks to be more flexible. OG Anunoby said, give me every brick.
Mm-hmm.
I want every last penny. And they could do that because they aren't paying Jalen Brunson. And they aren't paying, like other guys are willing to come together. And I am not somebody who wants to see billionaires bailed out by any way.
Right.
Pay the money. But there is a salary cap that you operate under. And as long as guys are getting paid and they're not, you can say, well, Patrick Mahomes isn't maximizing his value. You should be the highest paid player in the NFL. My argument is that when it comes due, does Patrick Mahomes feel like he's compensated fairly? And if he feels like he's compensated fairly, then roll with it.
Well, and who are we to tell him otherwise?
Yes. And again, he has a 10-year deal.
Yeah.
Worth a half a billy.
Yeah. Crazy.
Like, I don't.
Yeah.
How can you get mad at that? I just, I hate the Chiefs. I hate the Chiefs. I hate the Chiefs. I hate the Chiefs. But I have to respect the living hell out of Patrick Mahomes. Like, well, in the counter to this is like, well, of course he can say no. Look how much money he's making. He still could take every penny on the table, mm-hmm. and he's not.
Yeah.
And so, the lightest of golf claps.
The lightest of golf claps.
It's as much as I'm willing to give the Chiefs. But it is a very interesting situation where you've got other quarterbacks, which, look, if you're Tua and you are one hard hit away from brain damage, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lock that money up and go figure that out. Because I don't think you're going to have the longevity of one Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Because I even if he doesn't get another concussion, I think he's going to take a couple of hits. And as a little guy, he's just not going to age well.
Mm.
I mean, the only little quarterback who truly aged well was Drew Brees, and he's got generational arm talent in the sense of accuracy.
Yeah, well, and he fell apart, too.
So get your money while you can, I guess. Every instance is different. I just hate the whole, you know, how you have to be one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Either you take every penny or you sacrifice for the teams. Like, there's a medium that exists in between. And honestly, I wish more players in sports did that of like, hey, and I don't mean that as saying like setting aside money that they're due or earned, but right. more as a, this makes sense for us right now. This is a title window and I want to go win, you know,
mm-hmm.
like that's the kind of thing that now, if we're not in a title window and somebody's going to get that money, give them my bread, run the Bills. All right. That's kind of where I am with that. So, all right, come up next year. It's our worst day on the web. Got two different ways to go with this. One of them is a plane returning to station again for Biohazard. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
This is a terrifying, terrifying ordeal, of which we've covered in the past. A doo-doo so disruptive that the plane has to turn around, of which we have audio from the pilots.
I talked to the doctor and I talked to the crew, and it sounds like it's quite bad back there. It's still really bad. The crew is vomiting, and passengers all around are asking for masks, pardon me, etc. And it sounds like I think, you know, 20-minute flight to Cleveland is probably the better option instead of going an hour and 40 to straight ahead to Boston. Especially with it kind of being a biohazard, I think we need to probably get this plane on the ground ASAP.
How bad does it have to be that people are throwing up?
Yeah. Yikes, dude.
Look, man, I know we're after lunch now, so like we should be okay. To all you late lunchers, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Press pause and revisit this later or wherever you get your podcast.
Exactly. But this is... you know, we had this happen, or was it last year that we had this happen?
Yeah, I think it was 2023. I saw that in the article.
Okay, so we had that happen where when we talked about it then, that he left a trail through the plane. This doesn't sound like it's like that.
Yeah.
This sounds like somebody might have just lost it.
And there's not really, at least on the... I Googled it and checked a couple of the different articles on there, but nowhere does it really get... You don't get any kind of an explanation of like what it was.
I'm pretty certain we know what happened. And
well, right. But yeah, I mean,
one person said who their partner was on the flight said it smelled horrible and they used like the vanilla scented disinfectant that used to mask the odor, made it smell like vanilla scented bleep. And it wasn't puke.
Yeah.
So look,
that's what they should have done. What the flight attendants did on my Vegas flight when somebody bombed the bathroom back there and just got out the bags of coffee grounds, because that helps neutralize the odor instead of just covering.
It takes the smell up. Yes. Look, we've all bombed a bathroom. Does it not matter if you're a woman and you're out there thinking, "I've never farted. I don't poop." We all know. We're all married. We've all been there. Look, we've all bombed our significant other out of the bathroom. When you get out of there and they're waiting, they go in there. Oh, God. That. I have never, ever had one so egregious that people were puking.
It's so bad, dude.
Folks, the only time that has ever come close to happening, actually, multiple... situations was when on my first deployment, for those that are unaware, when we have our crappers overseas, we don't have the honey dipper come and clean them out. We burn them out with diesel fuel. Okay. It is a bucket, like a trash can, like a 55 gallon trash can that is in the crapper that they come out and they mix in diesel fuel. And they stir it until it all burns off. And it's 108 degrees outside.
Ugh.
And you have a bunch of grown-ass men eating MREs and crappy military food while getting PTSD craps that get cooked in the sun for the week, then lit on fire and burned down. And even then, I didn't throw up. And I had that smell burned into my face.
Like if there's anything, a really bad deuce is bad enough, but then imagine that cooking, light it on fire.
Yes. Well, after letting it sit for a week.
Jeez.
In the sun.
That's awful.
And it's not drying out.
No.
It's fermenting.
Coming out like magma.
Yeah. Okay? None of us are pooping normally over there, guys.
Oh, man.
They try. They try to feed us so that we just, like, it stays solid. But no. 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 There's none of that that happens. Okay? And even then, I didn't throw up. So what the hell came out of this human being that was so egregious that crew members were throwing up?
Well, and what went into this human being that caused the problem? What did this person do to their body that wow. It's, yeah, it's mind-boggling.
I just, I can't think how bad that could have been. I mean, you hear the pilot. Can we play the audio of the pilot again?
Yeah. Oh, hang on here. I got to get back to my page.
I mean, this is tremendous.
I talked to the doctor and I talked to the crew, and it sounds like it's quite bad back there. It's still really bad. The crew is vomiting, and passengers all around are asking for masks. Pardon me. Etc. And it sounds like I think, you know, 20-minute flight to Cleveland is probably the better option instead of going an hour and 40 to straight ahead to Boston, especially with it kind of being a biohazard. I think we need to probably get this plane on the ground ASAP.
This isn't one person. This isn't like, oh, Nancy back there struggling because she's a wuss.
Yeah.
The crew are vomiting and the doctor is like freaking out.
The doctor's going, yo, we got to land this plane, man.
Like, did this guy's colon fall out?
There's the Vancouver Ford text line here. Was riding the MAX train home from a Beavers game when I was about 11 with my father, sister, and cousin. Let it loose on the MAX train. Had to waddle my way through Pioneer Square with shorts full. Made it to a Starbucks where I unloaded all the undergarments into the bathroom toilet. Had to get back on the train to ride to Gateway with stained shorts. Sister and cousins were gagging. People on the train were questioning what the smell was. It was brutal. Scarred me for life.
Somebody else texted in, Danny, I took a friend to a free clinic downtown and had to use a ravaged honey bucket nearby that hadn't been serviced to pee. I gagged several times while peeing. It was a white knuckle ride. Okay. Again, imagine that, but sitting for literal weeks in 100-degree heat and then set on fire by diesel, cooked into a crap stew.
This one also on the Vancouver Ford text line. That's the kind of dump where you brush up on your life insurance policy.
Yes! Because clearly an organ fell out. There's just no way.
So brutal.
Like, again, I understand, like, a really, really, really bad smell that's been sitting, stagnating, cooking in the sun. But to have it freshly come out of you be so bad and so egregious that in a closed environment, it is making multiple people vomit.
I think our MAX train texter is back in. Can confirm it was a combination of hot dog, dipping dots, cotton candy, and soda that'll put any crowd down.
Good Lord. They turned a whole ass plane of 100 people around and were like, no, man, we need this thing taken care of now.
Oh, boy.
I mean, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
So, People Magazine spoke to a Miami-based flight attendant who's worked on a major airline for nearly 40 years about what happens during events like this. She shared that while she'd never been on a flight this turnaround due to a biohazard, her flights have made landings for medical emergencies after an on-call physician was consulted. She's worked on flights where passengers have vomited in their seats, and in those cases, airline staff are trained to use a biohazard fluid-controlled powder called Red Z that is poured over vomit to dissipate it. And also, people have had very bad accidents in an airplane lavatory, but in extreme cases, she would just lock off that bathroom. She said, the difference with what happened on the Delta flight was likely that the diarrhea, a trail of which could be seen on the floor of the cabin's island video, was everywhere. So that's what we had again. That's what it was. It happened again. Somebody crapped down the aisle.
Yikes.
155 passengers and 6 crew members had to be diverted or returned to the
airport. Was that all? I thought I saw it was a bigger flight. I thought I saw that it was like a...
737-800. So 155 passengers.
Yikes.
No one needed medical assistance upon arrival, though, including the person who crapped all over the plane.
Man.
My goodness.
This is brutal, dude. It's so bad.
I just... Goodness gracious.
Poor Harley on the YouTube chat. I'm happy I just sat down with my lunch.
Look, I tried to.
We tried to warn.
I tried. I genuinely tried. I tried to be nice because I knew it was that time. I knew it was that time. All right, we're going to pivot out of this crappy situation and into some Dan Lanning audio who hopped on with Joel Klatt about what. You like that? You like that? I thought it was pretty good. Also, I'm watching Team USA Women's Volleyball, beach volleyball right now against Australia. And typically, in this is a total score moment. I just have to call this out. You've got your one taller player who plays at the net, and you have like your libero or like setter in the back who's tiny. This is like mini-me and a giant. They come up to each other like Kerry Walsh and Misty May. This is like... She looks smaller than Misty May, and she looks taller than Kerry Walsh. It's every time they come to high five, it looks like somebody hugging their little sister.
Just real quick, squirrel moment too. I had earlier this morning the women's volleyball was on in here, the indoor volleyball, and I didn't realize Karch Karai is the head coach.
Yes, yeah, Olympic gold medal winning and probably the greatest volleyball player in the world all time. Which is why, you know, we kick butt at volleyball. Russians ended up pretty good, but they can't compete anyways.
They did lose to China, by the way.
They love their volleyball.
Five sets.
Oof. Wow, went five, huh? We'll probably find a way to talk about Chase Budinger today because what he's doing is insane. And we'll revisit why it's actually not that insane. But after a full squirrel there in that tease, Dan Lanning coming up next year on Danny and Dusty, Tenney the Fan. Dan Lanning, the head coach of the Oregon program, hopped on with Joel Klatt. And no talk of NIL, surprisingly, but he did hop on and discuss what makes Oregon great.
Crap, hang on a second here.
Maybe.
Hang on, I didn't have myself quite as ready as I thought I did.
That's what she said.
Right? All right, here we go.
Well, every place, like you said, has limitations. I think one of the harder things here in the Pacific Northwest is I can't go out and throw a football and hit players that can play for us. So we have to have, you know, players that are courageous and brave. You know, there's some guys that will win from the Pacific Northwest and in the state that can, you know, can contribute, but we can't make an entire team from here. So we have to go, you know, find the guys that are willing to get uncomfortable and maybe step away from their home to come here and be excellent and be great. But that's also part of what makes this place great. You know, when you walk into the locker room, it's a melting pot of people, right? You'll have guys from the islands all the way to Miami, to the DMV, you know, all across the United States that make this, you know, a really special place. People come here to sign up for something that's different. They want to sign up for hard. They want to experience something that isn't easily attainable. And I think that's always one of the hardest things for a student athlete when they come in. Every one of these guys was the best player for their high school team.
Yeah.
Every one of these guys was the best player, you know, where they're from. And you come here and you have a lot of the best players, and now competition ensues. But within that competition, still having the connection and the family piece that we're able to create here that I think makes it really special.
I think it's actually an interesting point. I genuinely do. In what is typically a hurdle for the Northwest in general, whether you're talking about college football or the NBA, the Trailblazers, or when it was Seattle had the Supersonics, and I think getting people to Seattle is also difficult, even to go to UW, in that even though it's a big city, it is still geographically isolated. It's also very white. It's also cold, wet, and rainy. You can't rely on weather. You can't, even a big city like Seattle, you can't go with the big city things that you typically can, I think, in other places. But the way it sounds like Dan Lanning and Oregon have overcome that hurdle is by capitalizing on a weakness, in that turning it into a melting pot has actually kind of encouraged their growth and their diversification and how everyone shared trauma, as it were. to be blunt, this is a tactic that the military takes.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have heard me use this phrase before. It's called trauma bonding. It's a real thing. It's what happens. And what the military does is they throw you into a very traumatic situation, basic training, that shocks your system and gets the best out of you by getting you all to rally together.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know.
Or if, like in a fraternity, Hell Week.
Yes. Like I don't know if Oregon specifically targeted that or stumbled into it or a combination of the two. But the way Dan Lanning is talking about it, it makes it sound like it's a bit of a focus. And honestly, I'd love to ask, go full truth serum and ask Dan Lanning and those at Oregon if that is something that was targeted, because it does make sense when you take the best of the best from wherever they're from, there's a sliding scale. The best of the best from Oregon and Washington is not going to match up against the best of the best from Florida or Texas or California.
No.
And so you have this in earnest battle or competition that brings people together because you're bonding over the fact that the weather sucks.
Yeah.
And that you're in a small town and you don't have as much to do, or that you're far away from home. Whatever those little things are that you can find that you bond in, you expand on those. And again, this is from my own experiences in literal wartime. Those things matter. And those bonds that you form, now, obviously, the difference between the bonds of combat versus the bonds of college football, I don't like making the war analogies because it is a little weird. Mm-hmm. But as somebody who played sports and was relatively good at them and went through the military, I feel like I can speak on those things and say that, yeah, there are some parallels. Obviously, there's sliding scales of the two.
Uh-huh.
But I do wonder if that is something that factors into how they go about how they build. Now, it's not like the pillar of which they build upon, but it is an effective method, particularly when you're talking about bringing people together. Now, is that necessarily a good idea in the long haul to create mildly traumatic experiences for people to bond over? I think the people have varying opinions on that, but I think it does matter. So I just thought that was a really interesting piece of audio from Dan Lanning on with the Joel Klatt podcast. So in hour number two, hour number three, we are going to reset. We talked to Pete Thamel about the changes in college football in the good Ross Dellinger's article that released on Friday that kind of highlighted where the house is at. Football. But there is a massive, massive, massive indicator of change out there for college basketball. And one conference could stand to benefit more than literally any other in the country. We'll get to that and more coming up here in hour number three on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.